It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast. Good text here.
Oh.
And, well, it lays out, I think, where we're at. And the topic on the station today, I'm sure, both in the next couple hours with Texans Monday, as well as in the loop, in the drive, and no Area 45 tonight because it's Monday Night Football. But the Packers and the Texans and rehashing everything that happened yesterday will be the big topic yesterday. There are plenty of angles to continue to dig into with this, but this loss yesterday combined with a win by the Colts over a very undermanned Dolphins team, at least at quarterback right now, has set up, I would say, the biggest Colts-Texans game at NRG Stadium since these two teams met in the 2018 postseason in the Colts with Andrew Luck about eight quarterbacks ago for the Colts, beat Deshaun Watson,
yeah,
recently injured and out for the season with the Browns, beat the Texans 21-7, I believe, was the score that day against the Texans. This is the biggest game between these two teams at NRG Stadium in about 6 years, and I think a texter sums it up perfectly here. So this game against the Colts this week is essentially the difference between a virtual tie with both teams being 5-3 or the Texans having a de facto three-game lead in the division, because if they win,
yeah,
they'll be 6-2. The Colts will be 4-4, but the Texans will have won both of the games against the Colts. Honestly, this is as close as you can get to a week 8 potential division clincher for the Texans. You know what I mean? Like, and I know what happened last year. They're probably saying the same thing in Jacksonville about the Texans game in week 12, where they beat the Texans to go to 8-3, and the Texans were 6-5, and the Jags had that win over them here at NRG Stadium. They're probably saying the same thing, and now I'm saying it with more than half the season to go. I'm just talking about the math. And the fact of the matter is, the Texans, as angry as we are today, they are 5-2 with four games left in the division that they are going to be fairly significant favorites in if things continue to hold up, even with this bad offensive line. They're a 6-point favorite against the Colts. They should win this game at home this weekend. Bad offensive line or no bad offensive line. This is a big game, man. This is a game that has a lot of juice.
It's a huge game. No, and honestly, if I had to put the Texans into a tier right now, mm-hmm, I won't do quartiles. Let's say it was five tiers in the NFL.
Okay.
I think they're still smack dab in the second tier.
I agree.
And including the game yesterday against another second tier team in the Green Bay Packers.
Agreed.
So they're certainly not up in the Vikings or Ravens or any of that category of game, yeah, or team, but they're up there, but they're very clearly stuck there without that getting into that next gear.
Yeah.
At some point, whether it's return to health of Nico Collins and a bunch of the defensive starters or whatever it might be as simple as that, but they haven't demonstrated enough of the things they need to do versus really good teams. And I'm including the Bills game in that, too. There's a reason the Bills went out and got Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
So that's where they are. And but if you lose to the Colts, you're not a tier two team anymore.
No, you're not.
Now you're right there, smack dab at three. It's a big game in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no question about it. It's a huge game. Of all the football I've been watching, Seth, over the last few weeks, because this is always, how good you are is as much a snapshot of the last few weeks as it is your body of work for the whole season, you know?
Yeah.
It's in terms of what are you right now. The teams that I watch that I feel like the Texans would just get overwhelmed by right now, off the top of my head, if you played them on a neutral field, certainly if you played them on their home field, are the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Lions, and the Vikings. It's those teams.
Offense versus that Chiefs defense.
Yeah.
Don't even talk to me about Pat Mahomes. It would be a nightmare, I think. The team that showed up yesterday,
yeah,
would have gotten throat punched by, yes, the Chiefs defense.
And yeah, I think you'd get throat punched by the Ravens offense right now. Even though the Texans defense has played very well, until I see them defend Lamar Jackson effectively with Derrick Henry next to him now.
Yeah. It would be really, really bad. Derrick Henry would get 200 yards rushing.
And it'd be bad on both sides of the ball. I think it would look a lot like the playoff game last year. So Chiefs, Ravens, The Lions are a very good football team right now, and the Vikings are a very good football team right now. Mm-hmm. You've already been beaten by the Vikings. Man, that Lions game, that Lions game on Sunday Night Football, I don't even want to think about that right now.
Look, I don't want to do the whole college football playoff thing, but in terms of just common opponents and what have you, both the Packers and the Texans got absolutely throttled by the Vikings. I know the final score looks like it was a close game between the Packers and the Vikings. No, the Vikings destroyed the Packers. So the Vikings are a whole different category right now than either of the Packers or the Texans.
Yep. Interesting question on the text page. Do you think the Packers gave the blueprint on how to expose our offense?
This is the problem. A lot of the things that were given the Texans issues yesterday were the exact same things that the Colts were doing in week one.
Yes.
Some of these overload looks that they show, that where you got three defensive linemen on one side, it throws the Texans into such disarray in their pass protection, and they don't know what they're doing. On one play, it was either Dari Ogunbowale or Laremy Tunsil who really screwed up bad mentally. This was an annoying one because I put it out there and I said one of two. This, you know how it goes. I talked to my offensive line consortium.
Yeah.
And they'll always say, like, people. Well, it could have been one of two or one of three things. Mm-hmm. It was one of those two guys. There are a lot of people who are like, no, clearly, Seth, this is what was happening. No. They saw yesterday from that's been giving them issues since week one, they still look like they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They still look completely lost and hopeless.
The Packers, the only thing the Packers gave in terms of a blueprint was the fact that you can bang on that button literally every play if you want to. You don't have to be selective about doing any of these things. Just do them. They can't defend them right now.
It's really a lot of the cute stuff that worked last week versus the Patriots. Once the Packers realized, oh, okay, I see what you're doing here. Yeah. Oh, you think you're going to run a counter, do you? Yeah, you're cute.
Yeah.
And then I kick you in the face.
Yep.
That's what the Packers defense did in the second half.
They
physically manhandled offensive linemen and tight ends and wide. Like anybody who was trying to block was just getting physically manhandled.
I'll toss this final little grenade right into the everybody is critical of Bobby Slowick room right now on the way out.
Yeah.
The Texans have scored 6 touchdowns in the second half of football games this year. They played 7 games. They've scored 6 second-half touchdowns. 2 of them came in week 1 against the Colts. 2 of them came last week against the Patriots. In the other 5 games, they've scored 2 second-half touchdowns. 2. It's a miracle they're 5-2 right now, in a way. I mean, that's ridiculous.
No, well, it really is. I mean, no, and it goes to almost every game this year other than last week. It was one where it was either a nail-biter or it shouldn't have been a nail-biter. As we've been saying all along, even after victories, they're just clearly not firing on all cylinders.
They're not. They got to fix it, or it's going to be, at best, they're topping out where they were last year, at best.
And they're good enough on paper that, this gets coordinators fired.
Yep.
You know?
It does.
It might be D'Amico's first really, really hard decision is that you got to move in a different direction.
That's a great topic. We'll save that. We may put a pin in that one for tomorrow. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies to you as well.
Thank you very, very much. We will see all of you tomorrow at 6 a.m. John Harris, Mark Vandermeer are up next.